by the new and living way.
Welcome to another time of abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by the new and living way, consecrated for us into the life within the veil. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith as we hear the word of righteousness with God's servant.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. All right, we are continuing our series on how to be led by the Spirit of God. This is lesson 7, by God's grace. Subjective leadings of the Spirit of God, part 3. We give God praise for how he has led us till now. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we are grateful. We thank you for your mercy upon us as a company. We thank you for your scrutiny of our development. We thank you. We thank you because you have not left us to our own devices, but you are plotting our way back to you. Thank you, our Father. As we look into this study this morning, we ask for utterance, O God, in the name of Jesus. We ask for great help. Let everyone be helped in the name of Jesus. The emphasis of the Spirit, even today's meeting, O God, let it be strong upon us. And let hearts be open to receive it in the name of Jesus. We ask, O God, for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, even this morning. Let the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, and let your name be glorified. Father, we thank you. Blessed be your name forever, our Lord and our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's say amen. Let's say amen. All right, our memory track. By God's grace, in our last lesson, we continued looking at how the subjective leading of the Spirit works, focusing on the reasons for subjective leading. Chiefly, is to train and to teach man how to live by the Word of God. Also, to deal with the pride of life, or the pride life that is inherently in all of us. To correct our thoughts and our ways, to chasten or deal with us with the intent and desire of correcting our thoughts and our ways, and eventually our lifestyles. Let's say amen. We also saw that believers are being led subjectively in order to learn God's own spiritual and divine economy, and to paint the hope and the destination of our profession. Let's say amen. You see, all the emphasis of subjective leading, as we've been taught in the last, I think, 3 lessons or thereabout, is primarily to, let me not say enforce, but to push the church even into the original intent of God's movement in the world of creation. That intent has not changed. It has been the same intent from the time the Lord, in Genesis 1:1, when they say in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and even some beginnings that the New Testament spoke about before that very beginning where God created the heaven and the earth. All that movement, all that activity had one intention in mind. And the reason for subjective leading is to bring that intention to the very before, as it were, of believers. Because it is possible for you to live your entire Christian life and have not scratched the very intent for which the blood of Jesus was shed. And that is an anticlimax of a large degree. The reason for which a thing is established or a process is set up, if the reason is not achieved, it's one of the most frustrating things, except what God cannot be frustrated. But it is very frustrating. You created a thing you set up a process for with an intent, and it is doing every other thing. It's like you make a robot. I want it to drive straight, and it does everything but drive straight. It will somersault. It will go round and round. You know, if you're a coder, some people write code sometimes, and you miss a line in the code, and the code is supposed to let the robot go straight. It goes going round and round. It can do many things, but if it doesn't do the reason for which you made it, then you have not. Then it is a very frustrating activity to the person who intended. So, the issue of subjective leading is God is now taking over the reins. This is the reason why you are a Christian, to put it very simply. And we will never come into it. We can be born again. We can have the Spirit of God. You know, we can even have gifts of the Spirit. We can have manifestations of the Spirit around our lives. If the intent of heaven is not painted to a soul, you can live your life and die and go to heaven and not have scratched that purpose. And that is not a life well spent. Let's say amen. That's not a life well spent. So the Lord is very much intentional and very much deliberate about our movement forward in his agenda, which is the ultimate reason for everything. And that is what we've been looking at. That's what subjective leading concentrates on. Okay, so we looked at five reasons. We'll just look at one more reason before we push ahead. Let's look at yet another reason why subjective leading is non-negotiable for anyone who will end up in the fullness of the life of God. We're reading for Emmanuel's enablement for entrance. Let's read Acts 14:22. Acts chapter 14, verse 22. We'll read Acts and we're also going to read Luke. But let's just look at Acts. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. It's on the screen. It says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Reading for our manuals, in truth, we are all outside the kingdom, even at new birth. Let's say amen. Whilst we are preparing this study, one burden was upon our hearts, and for as many who might have, people keep joining us by God's grace. God adds to his church daily such as should be saved. So I'm very much aware we might be speaking to some people who are just beginning their Christian walk, as it were. And when you are beginning your Christian walk, and the first things you begin to hear are things like, seven spirits. You don't even know about one spirit yet. You're in seven spirits. You're in Manora. You're hearing, sit on the throne. You know, it's quite possible for you to begin to make some presumptuous mistakes. And one of the reasons why I believe the Lord is having us come from this angle is so that everyone, we can be perfect and entire. Because our walk here is not without an enemy. And the enemy's power, as it were, over us is ignorance. No matter how high you are, as long as he knows something about the realm you are in that you don't know, he has that advantage over you. That's what Paul talked about, where lest the devil takes advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Those devices are things that are arranged around the world of ignorance, and the Lord is always after dealing with that ignorance so that we are perfect and entire, lacking nothing, as scripture says. Let's say amen. So I'm saying that to say, it's good to know that the day you got born again, you did not enter the kingdom of God. You've heard it time and again. If you're hearing for the 17th time, it's good for you. If you're hearing for the first time, you are blessed. You are not in the kingdom the day you got born again. John 3:3, except a man be born again, he cannot see. You are born again to begin to grant you a ability, as it were, to see. Now, one thing about enablement or ability in the spirit is that we are all very much enabled in another direction. Ability in the spirit, or great capacity in the flesh, is inability in the spirit. They are inversely proportional. If you know, did maths. Inversely proportional means once one is increasing, the other is decreasing. So as you increase in ability in the flesh, you decrease in ability in the spirit. Now we are all born and trained to be very much enabled in the flesh. Now that enablement that we all have is great inadequacy in entering into the kingdom. So when you get born again, at the initial instance, your spirit is quickened, you are revived, your spirit is Christ. But where life actually counts, which is in your soul already has very much plenty capacities, things that we call nature, things you call idiosyncrasies, you want to use grammar, your preferences, most of those things are abilities in the soul that the kingdom of God did not put there. Now, you may not see the detriment of those abilities because they are very much advantageous to your existence here. Let's say amen. Read for Emmanuel. It is good to know that we are not automatically entrance into the kingdom or the life of God when our spirits are regenerated. Now, when you get born again, your spirit is quickened. Your spirit is Christ. Your spirit has been granted. You see to scriptures, we are seated with heavenly places with Christ. Yes, there's no lie about that. But where life counts, where you begin to measure out obedience or pleasure to the Lord, there is no life, there's hardly any life count there. I think someone once described it this way. I think it was our daddy, Pastor Meka, that the day you got born again, your soul was hoodwinked, as it were. It didn't know. It didn't know that God was going to come and eventually begin to tell that soul to live in a particular way. But they just woo you in the beginning. And your soul heard something. You heard something and your soul opened up and your spirit was quickened. Now, the power of the Lord is that He can use almost anything. That is the beauty of salvation. I believe it's very frustrating to Satan, because some of the messages you hear, you don't expect, you know, like you tell somebody that, was that they gave an example. If the first thing you heard when you got born again, some of us, the first thing we heard was not milk. It wasn't milk. It was something else. Some strange message. Maybe you heard a message about the doctrine of demons, for example. Some people heard doctrine of demons and they got born again. Somehow, there was a belief. It made them believe in Jesus, as it were, and their spirits were quickened. But the knowledge that will cause that soul to prosper, even in the kingdom, is not added at all. Daddy has once said, if you, the kind of message, I think it was that Daddy Reverend Busio Olabode said in one season of the Spirit here. He said that if the message that was preached, when people like Paul or Peter preach the beginning of faith to you, he said you will almost immediately begin to see Christ. You begin to see Christ as the next thing. But today, when you hear a message and Christ is not emphasized, they emphasize your, maybe you'll be rich. Oh, that's why it's very popular. You move, yes, you can make it, break it, all those things. And those are what you heard, and you got born again. That is what you will probably use your soul to keep chasing. And if you do not chase actual knowledge of the kingdom, you will not have life added to your soul. And to the degree to which there's no life in your soul, you are still cut out of the kingdom. That's why the Bible says, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he shall not now enter. Now, reading from Emmanuel's, said this is because the reason why we are outside, flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of God. We are going somewhere like this because our confidence in the flesh is what subjective leading comes to begin to remove. Let's say amen. We are all confident in the flesh. Every one of us has confidence in the flesh. And that confidence in the flesh does not go the day you got born again. What's that confidence in the flesh? That place where you do not consult God, you don't feel the need to consult God on things pertaining to you. You don't see the need. It's not in your, you just know what to do. That knowing what to do is a product of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because the first time that thing showed up was after Adam ate the fruit. He knew that he was naked and immediately knew what to do. Up until that time, it was not a thought in their heads. Adam did not know what to do. Now, in this world, that is taught as incapacity. You say you are not proactive. That's the modern Greek language. You should be proactive. I'm not knocking your ability to work well in your office, etc., where your boss wants you to be proactive. But I'm telling you that confidence you have in your ability, if they do not subject you to a process of winning you from that, you can go to heaven with it. We are all confident in the flesh. And the Bible says, flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom. God knows the detriment of flesh and blood life to all of us. He knows. We are not so much aware of it the way He is aware of it. And that is why He must subject you. How do they subject you? They begin to lead you against that flesh and blood. That against that arrangement that Otishof, where you know that this is how it goes and this is how it works. This is how it will achieve. You know, we all have those subtle confidences. Plan B. In the back of your mind, you basically say, it's just somewhere in the back of your mind. In case God does not answer, I know what to do. That thing was not in Adam in the beginning. It was not in him. In fact, Adam was saved, as it were, that he didn't even know that he had certain needs. It took God for God to recognize his needs and deal with them. And that was the original plan. That's how Lord intended to deal with man, up until man gained an ability. And that ability was to sort out himself. So subjective leading comes to begin to win you from that confidence. Check it. Anybody that's on part of subjective leading, one thing you hear from their mouths, I don't know. That confidence in your ability begins to go. You are constantly looking up.
For you, it is great incapacity in the flesh. Because people look at you and can say you have a character defect. But the Lord looks at it and says, this is enablement for entrance. Because where you are going to, is you are going to get to the place where you'll be like Jesus. You'll be able to say, I can of myself do nothing. That man that said that, can he really do nothing? At the time he was saying that, he had healed sick. He had raised the dead. He had probably walked on water, if I'm not mistaken. He had already done that at that time. But there was something in him that told him he cannot. Now, the word cannot does not mean I will not. You know, you can do something, but you will not do it. Can means inability. What Jesus was telling us there was that I have great inability in things flesh. I don't know how to use flesh. If my father is not moving, I can't. I can't move. You can't get there in one day. Because when that training begins to bring that training to your soul, it's with a lot of uncertainty. And no soul likes uncertainty. Nobody likes uncertainty. You want to know what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes. Am I together? Are you in agreement? Who doesn't want to know what's going to happen tomorrow? In fact, that's how some people used to deceive other people. They would just pick. I was reading somewhere recently, Book of Deuteronomy chapter 13, and God said, if a prophet comes to your midst and he declares a word, and that word comes to pass, say, but in the end, he does not lead to the Lord. It says, stone him. I'm just paraphrasing. Say, but that ability of saying something that comes to pass, you know, we all like it. It's a confidence that the flesh likes, and God will remove it. Why? Because as Daddy said yesterday, he is our future. He's the one we should be looking at. Let's say amen. All right. So this, what we are painting is that inability that we all have to enter in the kingdom because we have great confidence in the life outside of the kingdom. Subjective leading, we'll deal with that. Now, read for our manuals. This is because flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom. However, flesh and blood is the very capacity that resides in every man born of a woman. So it takes enablement for the king of the king for a soul to have capacity to enter into the kingdom of God. This is because the kingdom is not in essence a geographic location, but it is the very life of God that is in God. Let's look at Luke chapter 17. Is it 17 or 13? I'm not okay. Let's look at Luke 17. All right, yes, thank you. It says, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, because you know they were thinking about, we're talking about entrance into the kingdom. Entrance into the kingdom begins when you begin to be subjected by the opening of eyes of your eyes to a life that you probably had no idea of before. When he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered and said to them, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Verse 21. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for the kingdom of God is within you. Now, you know he was not telling the Pharisees that the kingdom of God was within them, right? You read this within, you think he was telling them. Some people have read it that way and say, the kingdom of God is in me. Number one, he was talking to Pharisees. The kingdom of God was not in the Pharisees. They came to him because of their understanding of the kingdom reign. They said, okay, when are you going to take over the kingdom? When are we going to take over? When are we going to become like we were in the days of Moses, in the days of David? And Jesus Christ said, look, the kingdom of God doesn't come by watching. He said, it's within you. What was he saying? He was saying the kingdom of God, that word within, is actually among. That means it's just right around you. Now, what was or who was the kingdom of God that time? It was the person of Jesus. Jesus was the kingdom personified. He was an entrant. Now, when he said entrant, he was a carrier of the life of God. That is the kingdom. To enter into the kingdom is to have the life of God infused into you. Now, that does not happen the day you got born again. Praise the Lord. From last week's message, so profound. Until the soul learns to live by every word. I like the way the Lord led Pastor Tito elucidate on this every word last week. So the soul will lack every ability to enter into the fullness of the kingdom of God. Somebody say ability. Let's shout ability. What we are looking for while we come to church and everything and listen is to gain an ability that we did not have before. Let's look at Luke chapter 13. Luke 13 from verse 24. Reading from, it's on the screen. It says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter therein and shall not be able. This scripture is scary. Because these people wanted to enter. But he said they did not have ability. They were, that means they had a desire, but they lacked ability. You see, that ability is what subjective leading comes to bring to a soul. It is greatly expressed, is well spelled out in the life of Joshua and Caleb. When it came for them to enter into the promise, everybody else was unable. They did not have ability. The door was right in front of them. Enter. They refused to enter. Why? It's not because they didn't want the grapes or they wanted the life. But what they saw as opposition was bigger than what they were carrying on the inside. Now, because Joshua and Caleb were, by the mercy of God, greatly enabled throughout the 40 days journey in the wilderness, they had strength to enter. The enablement for entrance is something that subjectively brings you. Now, God subjected everybody in the wilderness, but only two people profited with that subjection and were able to enter. And you saw at the end their testimony. They said, do not be afraid of them. And let's not rebel against the Lord. The Lord has said we should enter, and let's enter. I'm saying this to say, the very entrance into the life of God, the kingdom of God, especially when it comes to things everlasting, even things eternal, will go against your natural frame. If it doesn't go against your natural frame, you will not prosper there, because your natural frame cannot survive under that kingdom. It's something you have to jettison or give up. That's what we call nature change. Let's say amen. So a divine enablement is one thing that will come to you in the place of subjective leading. So whenever you are being subjected, know that what they are giving to you is strength to enter. Strength. And what when you say entrance? It means that the life of God, you are granted access even into the very kingdom that the Lord has promised us, which is his life. It's not a location. It's not a place. It is the condition of a person that guarantees that wherever he stands or she stands, the kingdom of God is there. Let's say amen. All right. So let's move ahead. It says how God subjects believers to be led by the Spirit. You know, Psalm 23 verse 1 and 2 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. From Emmanuel's, the Lord begins the process of wanting to subject us by changing the season over our souls. Let's say amen. So you've been born again for a while. You have drank milk. Let's say amen. You have done well a little bit, as God will have. And then they change the season over your soul. What it means by changing the season? If you've been around here long enough, if you've not been there yet, don't worry, very soon it will happen to you too. You will get to a season where your manner of entrance into the Spirit, so to quote and unquote, it begins to be strange. For example, you've prayed about things, you have labored, you have some things. You know, your life is divided, your Christian work can be divided into two broad headings. Let us put it this way. There are your things and there are God's things. Let's say amen. Somebody say your things. Now, God does not begin your Christian work with his things. He starts with your things. Why? Because you are a baby. I'm a baby. You don't begin to choose to a baby your things. As much as I love my baby, I cannot begin to speak to him matters of the household. Telling a two-year-old baby, actually, you know, the price of oil has gone up. My ATM, I have to go to the, there's only so much. I have to balance the account. So that's 3 naira they keep removing. You're telling a two-year-old. It's not his business. Because it's my thing as the father. But it's not his thing. Now, he has his own things that are very important to him. My pencil! If you don't answer him, you know that you yourself can lose your peace. Holy Ghost tell you, get him, fix his pencil. You and I both know as adults, a pencil is not. I remember growing up once, I stood at a bus stop very many years ago. I was going to school, secondary school, and I saw this little girl. I was in maybe JS1, and this girl was in primary school. She was weeping. She was crying. And adults were passing her, because you and I both know, now if I see a child crying, you know, get problem. If you see an adult crying, kilo shele. So this small girl was crying. But me, I was not too far from her. I was about to be a teenager. I said, why is this girl crying? So I asked her, what is it? My pencil. Compassion filled my heart. Because I understand her level. Cain. Somebody say Cain. I know that they will beat this girl. Because they have beaten me too before. I can identify with your infirmity. I took my pocket money. I put it in my hand in my pocket. I took out 50 kobo. I said, go and buy a pencil. Thank you.
That girl was my friend for the next 15 years. Till I left the area, she always greeted me. But how many of us know that pencil will not be anything? Who pencil help? No, it helped her. But what is pencil in the overall scheme of things? I'm saying, God will not now. I just had pastor and said, what is doing? My brother, go to school and chop the cane. No. God will not do that to you. Somebody say your things. Say my things. Let's shout my things. You have to have gathered experience in God concerning your things. I'm preempting myself. He will use your things, Daddy said, to train you first. What is he training you for? A kind of dependency on him. Because until that period of your life, you did not even know. I'm preempting myself. But you, some of us do not know that God can give you money. You don't know that you can have and you can pray. God can give you. Pastor, I talk about money. It's your thing. Now, does that commend you to God? No. I'm preempting myself. I'm going ahead of myself. But that is the burden upon my head. If you do not know that God can deal with your things, you will not be interested in his things. He doesn't start you with his things. He starts you with your things. Now, we define what your things are as we go on. Well, let's quickly go through this. Now, I said all that to say, when they are changing season from your things to his things, those that do well are those that have a testimony that God can take care of my things. What kept Job going? Because he knew that God is trustworthy. He knew that God is trustworthy. It was not negotiable. No matter what he saw. Now, where did he get that trustworthiness? It was not there and then. He gathered spoils. He had got to a point where he had a testimony that he feared God and eschewed evil. That is a work. In God's trust, he trusted God to such an extent that when this season changed, though he slay me, I will trust him. Why? Because I know he is dependable. And cutting milk, sorry, that's what milk does for a soul. You know, your child, I like to use your child, when your child is born, does not know you are his father. Forget that thing. He looked at me, he's smart. He does not know you are his father. He doesn't know. Don't he say, he's smart. You know, the first 1 week of I think 3 weeks of a baby, that thing that you call smile. The doctors can bear witness. They are getting rid of air. I said, he's smiling at me. He's looking, he knows me. He does not know you. After 3 weeks, take that child away from you and let another person take off that child for the next 20 years. That person is the child's father. Not you that, he saw me, he smiled at me. There was a bond. There's no bond. The bond is created by you dealing with her things, his things. You cry. You wake up in the middle of the night. You watch all manner of songs. Akababa. You sing us. I remember the other day, the kind of songs that works when my daughter was a child. This is an album. All manner of songs, just spontaneous. You will dance. Hey, one who is a girl with a high joy level. What is a high joy level? One who is a girl with a high joy level. You are tired, but you got to sing, man. Because you are creating a bond. Because 5 years down, like, why is she calling you daddy? It is because a bond has been created. So that when I bring the rod, you will not say, I'm not your daddy. It's stamped already. It's stamped. You can't deny it. Because I have taken care of your things. Now that's how God leads us. He will deal with you concerning your things. He will use your things, as Daddy said, to train you. So that when season change, you will not say what you should not say. Let's read on from our manuals. So he changes seasons over us. Now, says below are some of the things the Lord does to and in subjecting us. It says, create circumstances within and around us which are conducive for us to learn the teachings of Christ. Like we know in the beginning, you are not taught the teaching of Christ, because the teaching of Christ is the beginning of the introduction to God's things. God's things start with Christ, as it were. When he begins to win you and begins to show you, okay, there is more to your life than what you want. There is what I want for you, which is actually what you should want, but you don't know you should want it. So let's begin to train you by doing what? Opening the eyes of your understanding. They begin to change seasons around you. Many of us, we came here, joined this church. You know the way you came here. There were just, maybe you got fed up or you are here and there's something, it was just a dissatisfaction in your soul. There's more to Christianity than this. Who felt that before you came here?
Some of us were born into Gadites. It's cool. There's nothing wrong with that. But some of us, we were fed up. Some of us stopped going to church because it was a gap that was not being filled. And the Lord is the Lord that changed that season because he knew that, okay, it's like you have been drinking milk. Milk will not go satisfy you. When a child drinks milk, after a while, you will drink milk, it will not satisfy you. You will cry, drink milk. The child doesn't want to stop drinking milk, but the milk is not satisfying. So it puts the mother into trouble. Drink, he can drink, just stay there. And not want to leave. That's why they have to now begin to win. Somebody say win. Now, you know, winning processes are never pleasant like that. Let's say amen. Because they change season over you. What? They will remove the very thing you are used to and you love for something that's better for you. But you know the way of man, we are not naturally framed to like what is good for us. That is what flesh and blood did. Now, speaking spiritually, when the Lord begins to win you onto the things that pertain to himself, in the beginning it looks one kind because you cannot see yourself inside it. You can't see yourself inside it. It's as if you are disappearing. It's as if your things are being de-emphasized and they're emphasizing something else. And it gets very uncomfortable. That's where you need to fall back on trust. So the season of when they begin to create new seasons around you, it was like a very practical example. Some things some of us have this Jehovah sharp testimony, which is very good. Wah! Answer. And then you begin to boast with it. I know my God. You people are wasting time. If I go, what I'll do? 3 days dry, he will answer me. And then you did 3.5 days dry, and the thing did not move. And we say, Oh Lord, Lama Shabbatami. Nobody has forsaken you. Nobody has forsaken you. They just want to bring you up a little bit to begin to see there's more to life than this thing you are fasting for. Because you know, as far as you are concerned, that is the most important thing. That everything does not shift. It's like pencil to a child. If I don't get this pencil, the world should stop rotating. It should stop. But the Lord begins to win you. He begins to win you. I show you there's more to life than the things that you think are important. Let me show you the things that are really important. Things that pertain to life and godliness. Let's say amen. So the children of Israel in the wilderness is a classic example. You know, in Goshen, we know by the people that came out of the wilderness, those that actually profited in Goshen. Joshua and Caleb were the only people that profited with what the Lord was doing in Israel in Goshen. Because in the wilderness, when they had to fall back on those testimonies, why did Joshua know God was faithful? He had a track record somewhere in his mind. There are things that are happening in his life that he knew God is faithful. He cannot be telling us to enter this place and he has not taken provision because he's a faithful God. There's something about him that will never leave us or forsake us. Those were realities in Joshua, realities in Caleb that were not in any of the other 10 spies. So when they were faced with entrance, even though it was God that was saying, they say, liar, we cannot enter. And that was the last straw that broke the camel's back, as it were. That was the end for all those people. None of them entered. That will not be our portion. In the name of Jesus. So they changed seasons over us. They changed the season from Goshen. They changed it to wilderness. And God was still God. God did not reduce his godhood over them. In fact, he was more their God in the wilderness. He was more their God. Do you know that it's possible that they also suffered 2 or 3 days, maybe not as a company, without water or food in Goshen because they were slaves. But because they could see that if I work hard and please this slave master, I will get food. There was still a confidence they could use. But in the wilderness, who would please? There's nobody to please. We can't even know where it will come from. You know that thing of not knowing where something will come from? Hey, that's the confidence of flesh. Flesh likes to know. Flesh likes to know. When I say know what's going to happen next. How? Daddy said how. Even if you must know the how, when, how, when, why? Those are questions that flesh needs answered ASAP. Otherwise, Kasala will bust. What is happening here? Why have we gone 3 days without food? I think they just want another day and there was water. Just another day. But man, we can't see road. You know, if the road is far and you know where they are stopping, it's easier. But when you are going, you should be going. That does something to the heart. You just cannot continue that journey. And that's the confidence in the flesh, like I said earlier, that the Lord wants to ruin. God will ruin our confidence in the flesh. Reading for Amanda, the next thing that God sometimes does when he is subjecting us is allowing Satan and his cohorts to tempt and trouble us. Let's say amen. Now, this is a very important place. We'd like us to pay attention. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Very popular. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. Okay. We're going a bit fast because we want to finish on time. Okay, 1 Corinthians 10, 13. All right. Let's read together. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. 1, 2, go. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Let's say amen. Let's read Matthew 1. Matthew where it says, he was driven to witness to be tempted of the devil. Matthew 4. Thank you. Matthew 4. It says, then was Jesus led of the Spirit into the wilderness. Somebody say led. Let's shout led. Now, I stand to be corrected, but I perceive this as subjective leading. It may not have been that Lord said, okay, right now, go to witness and let the devil tempt you. No, they just staged him. Like they staged Job. You know, Job was subjectively led into that season of his coronation. Nobody consulted him. Now, when you see led there, you heard, I don't think, I stand to be corrected, but I don't think he heard a voice. It was an arrangement that was set up, because immediately that shout came from heaven. This is my beloved son, whom I well pleased. All the ears of the devil stood up, said, son, pleased? How did somebody please God under this atmosphere? Let's deal with him. And the Lord just moved. So that bears witness to what we read, that sometimes the Lord will just move. Somebody, I just felt somebody say, move. God, don't move. Don't leave me. No. It's not like that. God is faithful. Say amen. Why? Because you are the chief examiner. I think it was our daddy Lamikura that once said that. Say, your chief examiner and most veritable tool of God is Satan. Daddy Lamikura always says that. He says, he's the one that is standing against your entrance. He's the one that has to say, they call him the accuser of the brethren. So the Lord will say, all right, try this one. Now the Lord will never allow him to come when he has not prepared you. That's part of his faithfulness. One man of God once said, if a temptation comes your way, if you're ever tempted, know it's because the Lord knows you can handle it. Let's say amen. They will never allow them to enter the ring with you, except they know that you have capacity to beat it. Now you may not have been well trained enough to beat it. That's why you need to spend time being trained. But there's no temptation that comes to you that you don't have capacity to overcome. Otherwise, God will not be faithful. And we know God is inherently faithful. Let's say amen. All right. So, allowing for Satan and his cohorts to trouble us. Say, in subjective leadings, God may allow evil spirits to come around us to tempt us according to our growth level. Let's say amen. And what the Lord, Jesus is doing in our souls. Says, the Lord is, in doing so, wants us to overcome those spirits and infirmities that those spirits use to trouble or tempt us. The overcomer's badge is not given to anyone who has not overcome. So you can't be called an overcomer except there's something to overcome. Let's say amen. If you don't have anything to overcome, then they can't call you overcomer. You're saying, I'm overcomer. What have you overcome? Then we are overcomers. We are overcomers. Yes, you're an overcomer because you overcame something. Now, Jesus is the overcomer because he overcame hell and death, sin and death, and everything Satan stands for. And he also wants to make us likewise like him. So, there will be hurdles along your way. Anybody that preaches a Christianity that says there will not be hurdles is lying to you. Life has hurdles. Let's say amen. Not hurdles, are obstacles. The best thing in a time of obstacle is to have the Lord with you. Because as it's happening to you, it's happening to people that do not even know God. The advantage you have is that you are not entering your own outside of the scrutiny of Satan. I remember that Daddy has said this thing time and again. It's so true. He said, we are not at the mercy of Satan. It's good to know that. Let's say amen. You are not at his mercy. In fact, in the wilderness, God is more strictly watching over you. When they call him the refiner's fire, when you are purifying silver here, you have to sit and wait with it carefully so that it doesn't over-purify. Because if it over-purifies, it begins to change its quality. So you sit over it very carefully and watch it. When you say, sit as a refiner's fire. You know, when we read that scripture, you think of somebody, I will burn you people. No. When he called it a refiner's fire, the refiner looks at the silver and he's timing it. Okay, it must not spend another minute in the fire than is necessary. Otherwise, it will be destroyed. So he's watching for that period of time that's required for it to be purified. And that's what it means to be, when he calls our Lord the refiner's fire. He sits and watches. So you have not been left alone. You can't be left alone. Because there are promises that if you drank milk well, you will know that God cannot leave you. Milk is important too. Let's say amen. One vital distinction. Okay. Let's go on. So one vital distinction for our manuals that every wayfaring spiritual migrant must be able to make is the difference. Now, this is where it gets a bit technical. Between the dealings of God in seasons of subjective leadings and oppression of the enemy. Let's say amen. You know, it is laziness for us to assume that everything is dealing. We have an enemy. And when you think of the enemy, I know there's the sophisticated side to him, but there's also the outlaw side to him. When you say outlaw, one picture I have is that, you know, under my pastor, he's a bully. You know a bully? You know a bully? You know what they call a bully? Bully. Somebody that bullies. He's a bully. If you don't stand, what do you do against bullies? You stand your ground. Bullies are weak in the natural. They take advantage of you because they see that you are afraid, but you stand your ground. Now, many places we should stand our ground and we call it dealings because we are somewhere lazy. Somewhere lazy. Lord will help all of us. It is the infirmity of people who are around waters of revelation. It's our infirmity. We get lazy. We get lazy to conclude everything as dealing. Your first mind on everything that goes in your life should not be dealing, first of all. No. Sometimes you have been presumptuous. You've assumed some things are dealings, and they are not dealings. It's just Satan that's dancing palongo on your head freely because he knows that is the place you are lacking understanding. It's not everything that is dealing. No. We have an enemy. Now, if there was no enemy, everything would be dealing. Do you get? If there was no enemy, but we have an enemy. And in the seasons of subjective leading, his places he comes around to really display his antics. Because you know somewhere you are quick to assume that everything are dealing. Are dealings real? Yes. Does the Lord allow them? Yes. But I can submit to you, brethren, that I don't need to be a prophet to know that not everything, even my own personal life. Recently, I began to take stock. And I started getting angry of some things that I just perceived that I had allowed. Just because, you know, you just assume the posture, oh, they are dealing with me, oh, they are dealing with me. Whereas it's somebody that is cheating you. Reading from our manuals. From a distance, these two vastly different operations can be lumped together. You can call everything dealing. Or wrongly labeled in ones, or you can call some people call everything dealing, some people call everything oppression. There are two extremes, and then some people, even in your own personal life, you are falling victim to those two. Sometimes you have called some dealings oppression, because of oppression dealings. You called everything in a season dealing. You've called everything in a season oppression. Even in some dealings, Satan comes to use those dealings to oppress. He will come in that dealing, and because you see, he's a bad person. It's not good. It's not good. The season where the Lord is purifying you, what do you think that is the revelators around Job were doing? Do you know that was still Satan? Satan never left him. Satan was with him. In those people talking. Because what he wanted, that cursed God and died that came out of Job's mouth, that was Satan talking. Because that was what he told God in the beginning. That he will curse you to your face. So you know that voice that came to his wife, if you know the story well, was not the wife talking, Satan. Because in the midst of that dealing, there's oppression. But thank God for the wisdom of Job. He just turned at, like the way Lord turned to Peter and said, get thee behind me. He didn't say get thee behind me because Satan was not unveiled in that season. But he knew that, will you talk as foolish women? Why will you say something like that? But I was, and all those friends that stayed with him from very high things that we can use to preach sermons. But all of them, check what God said concerning them at the end. He said he's not pleased with any one of them. All of them should carry a ram and go down to Job and let Job sacrifice for you. Otherwise, I will deal with all of you. Why? Because you became veritable tools in the hands of the enemy. I'm saying that to say, in the seasons of dealings, Satan can also come with his oppression. That's where we need a lot of wisdom. So one of the burdens we are going to be treating, probably in this study and the next, is how to differentiate this dealing from oppression. Let's say amen. Now, from a distance, these two vastly different operations can be lumped together or wrongly labeled in one's mind. It says, this confusion or deception is the work of the enemy preying on nothing but our ignorance. Now, how to differentiate between dealings of God and oppression of the enemy? Before we know how, it says, one will not be able to discriminate between dealings of the Lord as a result of subjective leading and oppression as a result of the device of the enemy if one is not well grounded in the things mentioned below. Number one, testimony of God's faithfulness. Let's say amen. Open to that 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Let's open back there. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. It says, there hath no temptation taken you such as is common to man, but what? Let's shout it. Can we shout it? You are not shouting it. You are still not shouting it. Shout it. Shout it. Shout it again. God is faithful. Shout it again. God is faithful. God is faithful. His faithfulness is what sees us through hours of temptation. It's not your strength. None of us is of ourselves strong enough to withstand Satan, of ourselves. Any strength you use against him is because he gave you strength, or because he stood by you, or because he gave you wisdom. But it's all him, because that guy is not somebody that you should underestimate. But God is faithful. Now you need to have testimonies of God's faithfulness in your life for you to do well in subjective leading. Reading for our manuals, all of God's promises are what? In him what? Yea and what? Do we believe this? Let's do small milk something. Pastor Ike, am I permitted? Let's do small milk something. You know, I find it a bit painful. You know, maybe because most of us grew up old school. I grew up under Hagenite. Me and sister Philo, we grew up under the same person. And it was a Hagenite. And there were some basic things that they taught us. I remember somebody once came to a man of God and said, now it's good for us to know this. Because if you don't, you know, like I said earlier, some of us do not know that God can heal headache. You don't know it. It's not in your table of reference. You don't know that you can cast out devils. It's not a reality in your member. You don't know that you can be provided for. You can be broke and ask God to give you money. No, we don't deal with that here. Oh, we are looking up. I'm telling you, if you don't have a testimony of God in your things, when it comes to his things, you will grumble. You know why you are grumbling now? Who has grumbled recently? Yes. Do you know why I've grumbled? Do you know why I've grumbled? It's because somewhere I am lacking something in my ability to believe that God is faithful. Now, how do you do that? You gather that testimony when you are growing up. It's good to gather when you are growing up. All the shouts of, go and read again. Do milk. You know, Satan is bad. He'll come and tell you. Some of you will come and tell you. You are doing milk. When other people are doing ass and everlasting life. You are far behind. You better concentrate on what you are doing and leave that thing. He is going to come back to that very thing that he told you to leave and use it to disturb you. Because that is his nature. He is an oppressor. Somebody say oppressor. Reading for our manuals. This reality in the soul is the foundation for prosperity in the seasons of subjective leading. Why? Because when subjective leadings come and you have done all you should do to stand, and you are finding that things are not shifting, there is a place in your heart that you must stay, and it's latching onto the faithfulness of God. Say, God is faithful. That is what people like Joshua and Caleb used. That is what David used in all his time of subjective leading. When they crowned David, after he had a testimony that he was good enough to be a king, and after he was anointed, and they set him for 13 years in the wilderness, that was his own subjection. And throughout that season that Psalms came out. That is somebody that has a testimony that God is faithful. God has not left me here. And you can see in the end, he came out and sat on the throne. That is supposed to be our life. That's a typification of our life. There should be a testimony of God's faithfulness in your heart. How do you gather it? One good place to gather it is around your things. Some of us do not know you can cast out devils. Something happens and you just assume this dealing is dealing. He's just, they are dealing with me. And it's just Satan that is taking advantage of your ignorance. Let's read on. We'll get to the crux of it. Where are we? Okay. This reality in the soul is the foundation for prosperity in seasons of subjective leading of the spirit. In this season, which is usually characterized by suffering, an assuredness of the faithfulness of God and his commitment to our all-round well-being is vital to successful season in subjectively. Let's read 1 Peter 4:19. Like the scenario I gave earlier about the child. The child that, if by reason of care and you look into your child's things, your child doesn't develop a bond with you, that child will lack capacity to be trained by you. He will lack capacity to be trained by you because he has not grown to trust you. He has not grown to trust you. One thing that God uses the beginning of your faith to do is to develop your trust. How do you develop trust? It's not by first of all bringing you his things. He deals with your things. He deals with your things. He will come around you and begin to deal with your things. Things that pertain to your life. I'm saying this particularly for those of us who have just begun. You may be around where we're talking everlasting life, but in your own personal life, you are around milk. Prosper there. Prosper there. Tell your neighbor, prosper there. You need to gather testimonies. Personal testimonies. Encounters around the faithfulness of God in your own life. Those are the things that gave some of us confidence in those days. Some people, you know, they will go to church. And I'm not saying you should do this, no. But it was then. Some people will go to church, they will empty their pockets. We should do that. We were teenagers, we didn't have any. We'll empty our pockets and drop it in your friend and say, we'll get home. And of course, if I didn't get home, I won't be here today. So my, I got home. Abby? You have a headache. You say, I will not take Panadol. You know what is troubling you now is the knowledge you have. But the painful thing I have is that you have not gathered testimony. You see all our pastors. All our pastors, by God's grace, I stand here. All of them have testimonies. So I was remembering the course of the week how one day I had, I was nursing my younger brother who had chicken pox. And of course, you know chicken pox, I think it was 22. And they would say when an elderly person has chicken pox, it's usually very... very terrible. So he was very weak and everything. So I was the only one in the house. I was the one nursing him. And then I was nursing him. I know there'll be contact. And they say it's highly contagious, Abby. So, but by that time of my life, I was seriously under Papa Oedipo. So some things will just annoy you, you know. You know what I mean? So I remember when he was just coming out of it, he was going to get strength. I now saw one pork. What do they call it? One chicken. Under my eye. Whatever. I shall know that thing. One blister under my eye. Somebody say anger. Say anger. Even today, some of us will say we are just suffering because we took care of a brother, so we need to just suffer this thing. So you now go through it. Plus me that had the chicken. And my brother who was just, we stood up and stood in the mirror and we were repeating in the name of Jesus. Say, you have no place here. Now, hey, thank you, Lord Jesus. Somebody is not saying, I have not obeyed God. If they wait for you to obey God before they start blessing you, you will die. Do you know that me and my brother cursing that thing and it dry, because by the next day it was gone. Do you know that has not pleased God? What is confusing most of us, and thank you, Lord Jesus. One of the things that confuses most of us is that it's good to want to please God, don't get me wrong. You have to please God with your life. But do you know that healing the sick is not what pleases him? Do you know casting out devils is not what pleases him? Forget about pleasure. This is about making your life okay so that you are able to please him. Because if you don't, he will use those places and you just assume, we could have assumed and say, oh God, I'm just going to suffer this. I'm going to go on like that. Well, yes, thank you, Jesus. This is suffering. Rebuke that evil spirit in the name of Jesus. You don't need obedience to rebuke sickness. You don't need obedience to cast out devils. I know I'm fighting a war here, but you have to know that. Otherwise, Satan will cheat you. You need obedience to please God. You can cast out devils and heal the sick and go to hell. Yes. My line. You can cast out devils, you can heal the sick, you can raise the dead and go to hell. You have not pleased God. But you, in your normal everyday life, you should not allow this devil to be dancing around your vicinity. You shouldn't. You have that fundamental right on God. It's not tied to your business. It's tied to what God has already done in Jesus for you. To make your life here less arduous so that you can journey well. Because you have an enemy. And he's an outlaw. He will look for places to enter. Somebody say, hey, Pastor, casting out devils. What about the sons of Sceva? The sons of Sceva were not born again. They were not born again. Their signs should not follow them that don't believe. Cry, Lord have mercy. You know, one thing that has, I know that desire to please God is should be in all of us, and that's the season we are in. But I can tell you, brethren, the devil will use your inability to trust him on those small things. You see, it's lack of trust. You know, like I said, can dealings take that form? Yes, I'm not knocking that out. But don't in the beginning, first of all, assume it's a dealing. When Paul was beset three times with an issue, he sought the Lord. I can tell you, brethren, before he sought the Lord, he addressed that thing. He spoke to it in the name of Jesus. He rebuked it. I said there's something about it. And I've seen that testimony with Papa Hagin. Papa Hagin will have an ailment. He will rebuke. He wouldn't go. He will not go to the Lord. Say, Lord, what is this? And Lord will give him an instruction. He will do it, and then he gets healed. Don't just automatically assume that once things are going wrong, I just had a strong witness in my spirit. Your sons are just going wrong, and they're just saying, oh, he's dealing. Now, I'm speaking particularly to those of us who are really young, who are just coming up, who don't have any experience. You don't know that God can heal a dick. You don't know that God can take away my life from your body. You don't know that you can cast out devils. Some of us, it's a devil that is stopping you in your office. It's a devil in the form of a person. And you're just saying, I will suffer it. You didn't get up in the morning when you're going to work. Kabin Dajinka, as I enter into this office, light has entered here. These are things it should be your normal life. So that you can do it well, so that when it now turns to a dealing, you will not hear, oh Lord, why is this thing not changed? They'll say, endure it. Many of us not hear endure it. You heard endure it from here. I just say, okay, I'll enjoy this. And then you are enjoying oppression.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Makleza zini kapo provazidi na cast. Segladizi zibronga fotemi gla izon sort. Eliga safotenia. Oneki olegaste vio di gode foria na satinia. For your father is a good God. For your father is a good God. For your father is a good God. From the time when you are a child, a baby in Christ Jesus, and to the time when you are a son in Him, is a good God. Is a good God that cares for His own. For how many of you will leave your sons, your daughter, even your babies and your children, to the hand of stranger to be tormented? How many of you will release your child even to a tormentor to be tormented because that child has done that which is evil? I hear the Lord saying the Lord does not torment even his children with evil. He doesn't torment them with sickness. He doesn't torment them with diseases. He doesn't correct them with financial hardship. He doesn't correct them with sickness. He doesn't correct them with oppression of the devil. For all these lies are of the devil. For you see, there is a difference between the dealing of God to remove sin and the oppression of Satan to discourage heart from following God. There is a big difference. And I'm giving you judgment and senses. I am giving you sense for you to differentiate between these two oppressions in your life, that you may learn to rebuke the devil, that you may learn to rebuke the devil, that he may flee away from you. For it's every good and perfect gift coming from above, even from the Father of light, in whom there is no evil at all. Therefore, I say that evil spirit, that oppression, that sickness is not from God. It's not from your Father. Take up the word of faith. Take up your authority that you have in Christ Jesus. And rebuke the devil. Take up the promise of healing. And proclaim and receive your healing for your body. For these are the provisions of your Father. They are the provisions of your Father. And you must enjoy it. And you must enjoy it because of the next phase of his dealing with you. That you may declare indeed, God was faithful when I was a baby. He was faithful when I was a child. Now that he's training me to be a son under subjective leading, he is still faithful. For you need the testimony of his faithfulness. When you were a young child in him, to go through the dealings of subjective leading. Now when you are going through sonship, therefore I say enjoy this season. I'm speaking to my children who are still young in faith. Enjoy the privilege of your Father. Privilege and provisions. Provisions of healings. Provisions of deliverance from the power of Satan. Provisions. Provisions of financial help. Provisions of favor in workplace. Provisions that are in the scripture. Use them and use them well. It is good for you. It's a provision for your Father for the next journey. See the Spirit of God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, I just remembered something as the prophecy was going on. I remember in my office one time I had a member of staff that was turbulent, for want of a better word. I mean, I used to be afraid to go to work. It was that bad. When I get all the money, I will pray. And then I will just pray. I even went to go and buy a book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. I bought the book. I said, she now saw me reading the book. She said, are you reading because of me? I said, yes, it's because of you. It's because of you. So she eventually left the office. I went, and I know I didn't do well with that season. And then another one came now. Another staff came. And I saw the same thing happening. I said, this one, I will pass this one. I will pass this one. So I just started. By then, I'm trying to say that I started going down, doing all the things that we are taught in the house. But I'm saying, if I had sense, which I probably didn't have then, I could have taken authority in that place. You know, it's easy to assume that, I'm suffering. Satan will put things on you that you'll be carrying for decades. And you'll be, as you say, he's suffering. And it's calculated to scuttle your ability to enter. That's what that thing is doing. It wants to bring to question in your heart the faithfulness of God. If you don't have a testimony that you fear God and you eschew evil, don't assume that they will launch you into processes like Job. Some of us already think we are Job. You're not even near. I'm sorry to say. You are not near. I say that with all sense. I'm sorry, Vasa. You are not near. You are not. You are allowing somebody to take advantage of your ignorance. Now, don't wait until you are finished obeying God. If you wait until you finish obeying God, you will not do it. You will just, you will expire. I need to obey God. Yes, you must obey. You are obeying God for entrance. But you stand on your right as somebody whose spirit is regenerated and rebuke the operations of Satan in your life. I found myself recently, I just allowed things to happen in my house. Recently, just like 2-3 weeks. I just had to get it. I said, no. Abba. All in the name of dealing. They're dealing with us. Then your child is falling sick. And you say, no, God is dealing. God is not using your child's sickness to deal with you. Rebuke that enemy of Jesus. Amalama. Rebuke it. So there's an my boy was going. I said, in the name of Jesus, rebuke this thing. I remember when Daddy was teaching us somewhere Daddy taught us in Sunday school, and I can't remember what the topic was, but it was something about exercising rights like that. And when we got, some of you, you don't even know that God can heal Apollo. Apollo just comes, I dropped that. I'm not saying it's good to, not bad to take eye drops, but have you ever thought that you can rebuke that thing? Don't assume everything are dealing. So Daddy was teaching us that period, and then Apollo came to my eye. I stood in front, I rebuked it. The next day, it went to my wife.
This was like 4 or 5 years ago. I rebuked it. The next day, went to my daughter. You have to be deliberate. Just go, no, like, you know, I was following. I said, this thing will not stay here. I was following it. You know, no. And actually, he didn't find anybody else. He not left. This was like 5 or 6 years ago. Then I now found recently, I just allow things. I'm feeling pain as laziness. Laziness. Disguised under dealing. Laziness. It's just, I was just being lazy. And trust the enemy. He will take advantage of your laziness. He will just be just saying, it's a deal. Oh, yes, it's a deal. And then he's mashing you. After a while, if you let that thing linger, you will begin to question God. Have I said there are no dealings? There are dealings. But don't start in your mind first. Not dealing. Don't do that. Start with standing on your right as a believer. And expect it to go. You know, we don't. This is why probably we have not probably gathered experience in those kind of things. But we never use them. There's nothing wrong with you using that. There's nothing wrong with you using that. Standing your rights in the name of Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19. 1 Peter 4, 19. Hallelujah. Are we reading? Let's read together. 1, 2, go. Let's all read it. Can we all read? Let's look up and read it on the screen. 1, 2, go. I like two parts of that scripture. All of it is beautiful, but suffer according to the will of God. Somebody say, according to the will of God. Do things like that come upon you? Yes. I remember in 2016, I went for a planning committee meeting in daddy's house, and on my way back, it was a vigil. On my way back, Pastor was supposed to come with me. He didn't come, wanted to sleep, and left me alone. And I got home. Before I got home, I had an accident. I fell asleep. Bam! And I broke, my tire burst, everything. Now, I said, what kind of wahala is this? What kind of wahala is this? I got home. Pastor Ewai redeemed himself because he went the next morning with me to go and beg the person whose car I hit. So we fixed that. And I went to tell Pastor, I said, Pastor, what is all this going? Pastor said, there's something around you. Now, a season has changed. I want to point out, I want to balance it. But I want us to know that you don't, first and foremost, don't assume everything is dealing. But I also want to point something that, yes, dealings can come in certain fashions. And when you have done all, nothing will shift. But you will know that it's just something that the Lord will succor your heart. So, that was the beginning of serious troubles, which maybe I will share another day. I just don't feel a risk to share some of them. But at the end of the day, you will go through that season and you will come out trusting the Lord better. Anything that you go through and you get bitter. Your ability to trust God reduces. That is not a dealing of the Lord. It's not a dealing of the Lord. Because the dealing that they went through the wilderness and at the end reproduced Joshua and Caleb were people who are mighty able to trust the Lord. The other people refused to partake in the dealing, were constantly questioning, constantly murmuring because of lack of foundation. And the end, the thing was turned against them. We're saying all this to say that the season of subjective leanings is a dangerous season. It's a dangerous season where things can either be fortified or things can be ruined in our lives. So we don't joke with it. That you make sure by the grace of God, you have a foundation on the things that God has promised you and you stay there. They don't shift because you have moved forward. I know I'm dealings have changed over me right now. Now I just want to suffer. I'm just looking for suffering. Suffering will come. Don't worry. But in the meantime, gather testimony. Tell your neighbor, gather testimony. Say, it is good to point out at this juncture of the importance of milk, that the importance of milk is for the assurance of the soul that God is good. This persuasion stems from a prosperity in faith towards God or faith in the Lord Jesus. Very fundamental. Very fundamental. I know we're going down. Now, let's look at number 2. Okay. Know your fundamental spiritual rights. Somebody say, know your fundamental spiritual rights. By reason of being a member of my household, my son, there are certain things he should not worry about. At his level. Like I'm saying, we're speaking at levels. You know, the prophecy said, he's speaking to us young children. I know that was one burden that came in our hearts as we were preparing this. For some of us, we're talking subjective. For you to do well in subjective leading, you have to have gathered testimonies in your heart. And you can use it. Don't say that you can't gather them here. They are your own. They are not for sharing, first and foremost. I know until we share them, we are not complete. We don't feel okay. I want to share. But something must happen in your own heart. A trust must be worked in. So you don't have to have fulfilled from our manuals, fulfilled all obedience in order to exercise your rights as one who has been recreated in the spirit. Let's say amen. There are signs that follow them that believe. Let's say amen. The reason why casting out devils has become a ministry in some quarters is because somewhere we have lacked, we relegated it to the background. You know, you don't need to fulfill all obedience to cast out devils. Judas cast out devils. Now, casting out devils does not please God. Don't get me wrong. Casting out devils is not a thing of testimony. Remove him from the space so you can see road and continue on your journey. He said, you remember this testimony of Papa Hagen? Why he was talking to the Lord and a demon came. I was shouting, yakidi, 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 yakidi. Remember that testimony? If you read that, I've listened to it. Yakidi, 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 yakidi. And Jesus was just looking. Now, all of us would have done what he did. Because Jesus is here, demon is here. Jesus is here, licking it down. Drop this thing out. And Jesus was just kept talking. Abi? Just kept talking. Until he got angry and rebuked it and thing left. And he asked Jesus, oh, why did you rebuke it? And he said, Jesus told him, I cannot. I've given you that power. Now, that says a lot of things to us. As Jesus is concerned, demons are in nothing. They are not in his realm. You know, the only reason why that demon could come there was because Papa Hagen was there. Do you understand? Where Jesus is, they don't stand. They can't be found in his vicinity. So casting out devils is not God's thing. It's your thing. It's your thing. I'm not saying the demon is your own. But I'm saying somewhere it's your own. Because it has attached himself to you unnecessarily. You rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Jesus is not doing anything. And that's how he's still not doing anything. And for some of us, we are there and waiting for him. No, it is in your mouth. Say, this sign shall follow them that believe. Cast it out. It's not, it's not about please. You don't do that to please God. God's not interested in people casting out devils. He said, rejoice not when demons fall at you. That's not a thing of rest. Why Jesus Christ said don't rejoice? It's because heaven is not rejoicing when demons are cast out. Why? Because they don't see them. They are utterly irrelevant. But they have the ability to spoil, to poison your own Gary. Some of us don't even know that we can cast out devils. They are not things you used to pose. They are just normal everyday life. Get out in the name of. I remember when the time Daddy was teaching us this spirit also, taking authority, things like that. I was at a petrol station and they started fighting. And we were queuing. Now, you know that fight will mean they will close the petrol station, meaning I won't get fuel. You know that, Abby? For those of you who don't know, if you are online, we have fuel scarcity. And there's fuel scarcity. Agberos, that's out to stand at the gates of the filling station and collect money from people or help you to enter. All sorts. There's all manner of things to enter. And I was down the line. And I just started fighting. And I knew that if they keep fighting now, they will close this filling station. I won't get fuel. I stood up in the name of Jesus. You foul spirit that's causing this breakdown of law and order. I rebuke you. I am here. You should not be here. And then get out. 2 minutes, everything just disappeared. Although I didn't get fuel that day. But something was added to me. I had confidence. You know, some of us, you see people fighting and you just stop. And your mind. That's what demons do. You should be a peacemaker. Remember, peace must be here. I just had this strong thing across a week. Some of us are going undergoing oppression in your office, and you are just stomach saying he's dealing. The Lord is saying to you, rebuke is an evil spirit. It wants to make that office unconducive for you. I'm not saying you go to your boss and say, I rebuke. No, don't do that. No, that's not wisdom. That's not wisdom. And you don't need to shout it. You know, sometimes we believe that until we shout, come out! No. It's not about the shouting. It's about the understanding and the faith of the person that's speaking. The authority is not in the voice, it's in the life. Now, you are already learning a life that is far superior to demons. I mean, don't allow them to dance around. Because in the days of subjective leading, they are very much around. They begin to shout and begin to persuade you otherwise. There's no reason, if you can speak in tongues, you can cast out devils. Hey, I don't know, somebody has made it a big thing in our minds. Huh? They go together. Say, I'm not finished obeying God. I can't cast out any devil. If they wait, God just made that authority upon you that be. Say, this sign shall follow them that believe. Somebody say, this sign shall follow me because I believe. So when you're on your road now, you see fighting, don't just accuse, I am here. They should not be fighting where I am. Now, you don't stay there too long. Because you know, if you stay there too long without what we are learning normally, everlasting life, you get proud. It can make you proud. You can, but I'm saying that in no way should excuse that. I'm saying that awareness. You should not, casting out devils is not something that should be so big in your mind. It is your normal everyday life because devils are all around. We are in their vicinity. You have to, they are like zombies. You have to be clearing away off the road so you can see road. Keep clearing them. But as you're clearing them, make sure you are journeying. Let's say amen. Reading from our manuals, you don't have to fulfill all obedience in order to exercise your rights as one who is recreated in his spirit. It says, these signs shall follow them that believe. A believer should know that he or she can cast out devils. Let's say amen. Amen. He or she can speak in new tongues. Let's say amen. I met somebody recently who did not know that she could speak in tongues. And by time, God's grace, she was able to speak in the end because she just, this sign follows them that believe. It's not something that's so special. See, same thing with casting out devils. You can lay hands on the sick and they can recover. Your children are sick. Don't just assume. And don't, you see, that fallback plan that Satan has given to all of us, which is a westernization culture. We must not lose it. HMO. Somebody say HMO. HMO does not have your best interest at heart, too. Don't let me, I don't have HMO, so I can't do that. Anytime I'm going, I'm putting my hand in my pocket. So I have to learn sense. So check this thing well. Let's rebuke it. Rebuke it for one day. Rebuke, okay, this thing, let's go. No, the mindset behind HMO is not to engender faith. You don't trust God anymore. You don't trust God anymore. Now, what happens, brethren, when every disease can be cured by science? What happens? Just think about it. God will lose relevance. God will lose relevance. One of the reasons why we still serve God right where we're here, I mean, not we here, but I mean in this part of the world, is because issues day. That's why when people now cross to help issues no day like that, you now find that they don't have any foundation because they never developed trust in the Lord. They trusted in things. Help you understand what I'm saying. Our Christianity is not supposed to be geographic. You know, we still have a lot of geographic Christianity. The one that we do here is, well, I go, oh God, what happens when everything is working? The day you are born, you have a social security number, and then you will never, in fact, if you don't want to work, you don't need to work. When the Bible says work, say, I don't need to work. The Bible says go and work, say, I won't work. Because government, they sponsor you, giving you money. And then you are sick, well, you die. Everything's paid for. Then your God becomes the government. Why is it so quiet? Is it the HMO? Don't be offended. I didn't say you should close your HMO. It's entering. Thank you, sir. Pastor said it's entering. I'm not saying you shouldn't use your HMO. I'm saying the mind you should have. Don't depend on things. Depend on the Lord. Have you rebuked? Sometimes you didn't want to. I always like, do I need to? One day my daughter was sick around 2 a.m. Because, you know, we want to rush her. I said, not 2 a.m. No. I said, God, I don't think God want me to be running about knocking against. I said, no. I just said, what am I going to do? So I called my sister, who was the doctor. She called, and she calmed my, I put the speaker because, you know, we're two parents. And when you have two parents, you have to agree. Let's say amen. But in the end, she didn't go. Because I'm saying, you need to learn to take authority. I just say, you don't just allow things to go in the name of dealings. Don't just allow them to go. Satan is bad, though. He will use those things against you and be plaguing you, and you'll be thinking he's dealing. Whereas at the end of the day, why do you know it's not dealing? Because at the end of the day, you don't trust God more. You get bitter. You get bitter. You get faith is shaking. You have to go to pastor for a multitude washing of water by the word to bring you out of that thing. That's not a dealing. A dealing leaves you better. A dealing leaves you better. If you cooperate with the Lord, it leaves you better. At least the dealings I've had in my life, they've left me better. So the first part of God, let's just read them. All these and such like should be the normal everyday experiences one who has been taught well in the fundamentals of Christian faith should experience. This should be your normal experiences. There is no way, this in no way commends us to God. This is not how God, you please God. No. Say, but in that heaven does not rejoice when you cast out devils or you lay hands on the sick. That's not what brings rejoicing to heaven. No. Say, but it does help your earthly sojourn as we are by the grace of God able to keep the enemy at bay in our affairs. Because Satan will always come to you concerning your own things. He never comes to you concerning temptation around things of God, but your things that pertain to you. And you must be able to take authority as the Lord will lead us in the name of Jesus. See now, Being well exercised in these above will prevent us from being presumptuous and assuming that every untoward occurrence in and around us is a dealing of the Lord. Not everything that goes on in your life is a dealing. Some of them is Satan trying to disturb you, and you have to rise up and rebuke in the name of Jesus. One of my pastors was sharing with me recently about how his wife had an issue, and you know, normally we just want to wait and conclude saying a dealing. I then went to the pastor, and pastor said, if I were you, this is what daddy said to you, if I were you, I will reject that thing. I will reject it. Some of us have never rejected anything. I reject it in Jesus' name. That was in our language when growing up. And so I reject it in Jesus' name. Now, what we reject now is poverty. You reject the thoughts that come to you. The thoughts of sin. I reject it in the name of Jesus. You are constantly at work, keeping your heavens clear. Not just, okay, Lord is dealing with me. He's dealing with me. No, that's not how it happens. It is good to note that the Lord does not expose his saints to spirits that are beyond their level of growth. Let's say amen. If it is troubling you, that's my own rule of thumb. If it is troubling you, pray about it. Don't say, they say we should not pray about it. If it is troubling you, pray about it. Let the Lord tell you, don't pray. Hear that the Lord has told you, don't pray. If it's worrying you, pray about it. If it's worrying you, pray about it. Bible says, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, your prayer and thanks with subscription, make your request known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep our hearts and mind. Finally, the nature of Satan is for him to take advantage of us, particularly our ignorance, as we journey towards salvation. Knowledge helps us decipher operations and cooperate with the Lord when required, and also reject Satan when he begins to manipulate. Shall we bless the name of the Lord this morning?
Praise God. I would like us to, we'll talk more on this topic, because I discovered that is actually what is happening to many of us. Many of us, because we didn't quite experience those seasons of dealing with demonic spirits, how to deal with them. We take everything for dealing. We interpret everything to be dealing. It's not right. It's not right. Now, if you listen to the Spirit, if you're somebody who is given to listening to the Holy Spirit, even your own spirit, because I've had times when an issue will come and the Lord will tell me, stand your ground and rebuke that thing. And I'll stand my ground and rebuke it, and it will go. Even some of it will look almost like dealing. Almost like. But depending on that's why you must listen to the Holy Spirit, because sometimes you might not be able to really tell. You might not quite be able to tell either because of our judgment. I want you to also understand it. That's why it's called spirit of judgment. It's a spirit. It's a spirit. Meaning, it's not your brain. It is not your mind. It's a spirit of judgment that is worked out in you as a result of growth and stature in the knowledge of God. You come to the place where you can accurately judge. But in coming to that place, you need the Holy Ghost a lot. And judgment does not come to your soul without your spirit. You must understand. Sometimes your soul can be judging a matter this way, and your spirit will interject. You have to know the difference. You will not be able to flow very well in leading of the Spirit when you've not been able to separate your soul from your spirit. You've got to know the voice of your spirit. You also have to know your soul. I've taught it one time. Amen. Most of the time, when your spirit is speaking to your soul, it speaks as if it's separate. The Holy Ghost speaks authoritatively. Now, when you hear something like, I remember one time, I can't remember the scenario, but the Lord told me, you know, it was a particular season in my life. I knew it was not the voice of the Holy Spirit. I knew it was from my spirit. What he said to me, your wife. So I checked, I said, my wife. And I was like, is my spirit talking? And he referred to my wife as my wife. I know there it sounds somehow. Because in the spirit, we are all Christ. But it's in the soul that the two shall be one. It begins from one flesh. That one flesh is a consummation. From that point of consummation, it gets into soul bonding. That one of the soul takes time. After a while, you just discover that you look like each other. Those who have been married for a long time, you know that you almost look like each other. And sometimes you get to the point where you think alike spontaneously. Like somebody will come and ask my wife a question concerning a decision. She will say something and the person, she didn't tell me. And maybe sometime later the person came to ask me and I will say exactly. And she said, this is exactly what mommy said. How did it come about? We have become one. That is so. That's my wife. Amen. Somebody is asking, so does it mean in your spirit, the spirit dimension? In the spirit dimension, we are all, amen, we are all Christ. We only have one husband. I'm not a husband to her spirit. My spirit is not a husband to her spirit. Ah. In our spirit, we are all daughters. And we have only one head, Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? You need to understand that. So, it's in the soul and the body that marriage really takes place. Now, I just use that as an example. But you need to be able to decipher between your heart or your soul and your spirit. That is why the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. Now, our growth is coming into the place where the word of God, we've been able to use the word of God. And this word of God is not milk word. Milk will not be able to do that to you. Milk will not be able to do that to you. In fact, when you come to faith, faith only begins to prepare you for that. So even the leading of the spirit, we are, because there's leading of the spirit. You know, you have leading of the spirit with milk. You have leading of the spirit in faith of the Son. The leading of the spirit in faith of the Son is more subjective than objective. That is what we are trying to make you see. And even furthermore, into the things everlasting is more subjective than objective. Is in the leading of the spirit in, word of righteousness, as we are, if we call it, that we hear, all things work out together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. But in milk, you don't say that to a milk drinker. In fact, if you say it to him, you are just encouraging him, but he can't understand it. He can't comprehend how all things will work together for good. He can't understand it. Praise God. So I will want to tarry here a little bit. That's what I wanted to. I want us to tarry here a little bit. I want us to be able to separate these things because I want us to be able to rise up at any time and deal with issues promptly. I've had times I missed it. That is why I'm concerned when he was saying it. That's why I'm concerned. I've had times I missed it and I suffered for it. It wasn't a dealing. It was a spirit trying to put something on me. And you don't rise up because you're not discerning. You don't rise up and rebuke it. You just take everything. You don't take everything. You have spirits around that are trying to put something, especially something like sickness. Family trouble. You think he's dealing. Maybe a husband at variance with the wife. That's not dealing. That's a demon. A demon is involved. Because God cannot be dealing with you to the point where he will dividing. When he said what God has put together, is not what we say. God can put together and then be putting asunder. So if there is anything that is suggesting asunder, is a spirit. It's a wrong spirit. And you've got to stand up and rebuke the spirit. Why? Because as a believer, you have authority. He said, this sign shall follow them that believe. Just believing. He didn't say, this sign shall follow them that have a walk with God. This sign shall follow them. When we gave our life to Christ, those were the things we used very well. We bragged with them. Come out. Amen. Amen. You will speak in tongues. You will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now I know somebody said, but I've laid hands on somebody who is sick and the person didn't, no, you didn't read that place well. It didn't say, you know, because when you lay hands, what you're expecting is instant miracle. No. He said they will recover. Recover is different from instant miracle. So when we lay hands, we are expecting instant miracle. And it didn't happen. Then we say, no, it doesn't work. You know, if you lay hands, if you really read that, he said, you will lay hands on the sick. Look at it. He said, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, not in your name, not in your walk, not in your stature. No, in my name. In my name, it's in my name that these things will happen. In my name, they shall cast out devils. That's demons. They shall cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. So they all go together. They all go together. It's the same package. Do you believe in his name you will do this? Amen. Now, this is, I know someone will say, okay, these are exploits. No, exploits is in your walk. Exploits is in they that know their God. This one is just signs. And then sometimes we major in these signs, we don't want to go further. But this is just something that should, the day you believe, you can cast out demons. I can tell you the truth. If you believe today, that you are not born again, but you got born again today, you can speak with tongues today. And you can cast out demons today. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. And as a matter of fact, in the realm of the spirit, there's no today, tomorrow. It's just one day. What we call day is just the earth revolving or rotating in its axis. And then we have day, night. Then, in the realm of the spirit, if you get out of this globe, you'll be watching everything spinning. There's nothing like night, day from there. So in the realm of the spirit, it's so. They shall do what? Speak with new tongues. That's why when people come newly to church, those who receive them, I tell them, don't waste time. There's no tarrying. There's no tarry meeting. Get them filled with the Holy Ghost, because I know that one thing that will make impact in their life after they believed is to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And of course, we know it works. Those who are in that department, they know. Get them filled with the Holy Ghost and they'll just continue. And then, what again? They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. It's part of the package. It's part of the package. We've had testimonies of believers who accidentally or unknowingly ate some. Do you know how many things you've eaten? That should have harmed you, but didn't harm you because you believe. You don't know. Maybe because we don't share testimonies. And then even, is it not the one you know that you share testimony of? One of the one you don't know. You just ate it in and you're okay. I remember a testimony of a particular community that so persecuted, when Christianity entered that community, so persecuted Christians so much, and to the point that parents were willing to kill their children because they believed in Jesus. They saw it as a shame to them in that community that a child from them should follow these church people. So a mother poisoned food for the two daughters that were born again. The last born was not born again. And then the two daughters, we are born again. You know, we are eating the food. And the last daughter was there. And then invited the last daughter. Come and join us. So the last daughter was eating. And all of them were eating together. So the mother now saw last born eating with them, shouted. That's how they knew that the thing was poison. Now shouted, yeah, you've killed me. Oh, who asked you to tell her to come and eat? I put something in it. But you know, nothing happened to the two of them who were believers. They didn't know. But the girl, the little girl, started having issues and had to be rushed to the hospital. But the two sisters that were believers, nothing happened to them. They didn't need to go to hospital. They didn't even know if there was anything there. They ate the food with joy. They were rejoicing in the fact that they found Christ. And then that was it. And then they will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They shall what? So recovery is like when you have malaria. You know when you take your malaria medicine, what do you do? Does it, do you instantly get cured? No, you recover, you amend. As a matter of fact, if you've read Hagin's books on healing, and then also if you have, you know, also prayed for people for healing, I do pray for people for healing, I discover what we experience more, Hagin said it, we experience more of recovery than instant miracle. There is instant miracle, the Lord does it. But recovery also, the Lord does it. Because the Lord, God creating the human body, created the human body with a capacity to rejuvenate. It rejuvenates. The cells will multiply and close up the place that was cut. So the body has so. And you know what happened? Why the body is not able to rejuvenate at the pace that it ought to deal with an issue, an ailment in the body? It's simple sin. Sin entered, and so sin slowed down the abilities that God innately have placed in the body. But there is a power in laying on of hands that can activate the body to recover. The body will just begin to amend. Hallelujah. I want us to take note of this. That's part of the lesson that hit me seriously. We need to take note of this. Let's not, because we are people who are going through dealing, or we know about dealing, or we know about subjective living, throw away this. Satan will, you know, one thing with Satan is this. He likes taking advantage of your ignorance. And Paul said, we are not ignorant of the devices of the devil. Hallelujah. How many of us are blessed? Recently, my wife was counseling one of our sisters. And, you know, and it has something to do with this, you know, oppression. When I was hearing her, and then, you know, because we've not been, maybe in our own days, they taught us this thing very well. And I was just seeing that the sister was not quite getting what mommy was trying to say. I just came to them. I said, I'm hearing what you're... I was overhearing you. And I said, this issue is a simple issue. I won't deal with it, but I want you to deal with it yourself. I wanted her to grow. So I told her, so take this book and go and read. Satan Get Lost. That was the name of the book. I said, go and read it. Those days when we read those books, where is the devil? When you finish reading it, you're charged. You're looking for where. You know, like Mommy Helen said, we now have a Christianity that is running away from devil. How is supposed to be running away from you? Demons are supposed to be running away from you. Not you running away from them. Oh, Amen. Let's take that. I believe that the Lord wants
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
To say something to us.
Oh Jesus, amikafa gudina shi kan Krista fadini goguju tenia gabatenia kateni. Edididisi fredu duzizi vrintos tofasosefet. Menembritisite fate, abambribefet. I'm restoring the fundamental faith into the soul of many. I am interrogatio denangri estafadi and a kakuvrentostia. There is the fundamental faith. There is the fundamental faith that you must be acquainted with. There is the fundamental faith that does go away because you are learning even the meat word. There is the fundamental faith that you must have and harm yourself with, even that does not go away, even in the days of everlasting life. For that which you have learned and you have learned and you have used and have proved myself faithful has become yours. It has become, do not throw them away. They are still useful. They are still useful. Use them even as I permit. Use them as occasion demand for it. Use them, use them, use them. Use them even as I allowed. Use them, use them. For you see, you need to know your right and your privileges as my child, as my child. And these privileges does not go away because you are growing up spiritually. You also take them along with you. Take them along with you and use it well. And use it well. And use it well for the journey. For the sake of the journey. For you see, Satan will stop at nothing. He can use the very elementary things even to stop you or to discourage in your journey to attaining my full stature. Therefore, I say, remember these fundamental things. And use them. Use them for many, for many. For many have thrown them away, saying that they are not useful again. They are not useful again, and they become prey in the hand of the enemy. But take up these things and use them. See the Spirit of God.
I will just advise you to, last two Wednesdays, Lekiso Center, Mommy taught a message. I want you, everybody, to go and listen to it. Please, everybody, go and listen to it. If you didn't listen to that message, go and listen to it. It's important. That thing was, how do I put it? It was the Lord speaking to us. Because prior to that time, the Lord had begun to bring such into my heart that we need to begin to learn how to stand our ground. A few things happened within that season. The Lord said, stand your ground. Don't yield your ground. And then when Mommy now minister that, and I said, okay, yeah, it means there is something looming around that you need to stand your ground and resist and rebuke. Amen. And then if you don't mind, you can get that book. That's the book from Bishop Oyedepo, Satan Get Lost. You can get it and read it. Very, very sound book. Very, very sound book. If you need e-copy of it, I have e-copy of it I can give to you. Get it and read it. I want you to be able to stand your ground in this season. Amen. And we'll all do well in Jesus' name.
We trust you have been blessed by this message. For more inquiries, please visit www.nlwc.church or call 0909-054-2599. You can also contact us via WhatsApp on 0803-688-4759. God bless you.
Oh, by the new and living way, consecrated for the